We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Saturday Neon. Saturday Neon, guys, designs and manufactures officially licensed collegiate logo LED neon signs. It's a company that was started by two Colorado Buffalo alumni, two former college roommates. It's Denver-based, locally owned and operated. They offer free shipping as well. Saturday Neon's a really cool company. Like I said, they design and manufacture officially licensed collegiate logo LED neon signs. Imagine a Bud Light sign or a Coors Light sign in a window of a bar, but now imagine that that sign is of your favorite college school. So a Buffs logo or a Rams logo. They manufacture and design all of those. They look really cool. They use LED neon, not glass neon. They're easy to mount, and when you buy something from Saturday Neon, it comes with all the necessary mounting hardware. This is perfect for your office, for your man cave, for your bedroom. It's a great gift idea as well. So check these guys out. Use code DNVR for 10% off your purchase at SaturdayNeon.com. That's code DNVR for 10% off your purchase at SaturdayNeon.com.
Oh, man. Oh, that was a tough one, fellas. Welcome into the Losers Lounge. Not much of the lounge either. We're all in our respective homes, apartments, ready to we're a therapy lounge, ready to talk it out after the Nuggets. Fight hard, never let go of the rope, but ultimately fall to the Utah Jazz at home. No Rudy Gobert, no Whiteside, no Ingles. No problem for the Jazz, who score at will. With me for this one, I got my guy D-Line. You know him as Eric Weedham. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm here in the loser's home. Feel bad inside. I feel confused as to where my fandom is supposed to go. I'm very discouraged, but I also understand that I shouldn't be expecting good things at this point in time. As you mentioned before the show, the Nuggets were jerky enough to make it close and give us hope, and that was rude on their parts.
Dev, how you feeling?
Well, I was seconds away from being superstar Dev to super sad Dev. Like, it's just all we know is pain, and it's just been a lot of pain. Nuggets Twitter, not a fun place right now. Nuggets on the court, not a fun place right now. My home, not a fun place right now.
You got a little mini arcade behind you. That's not fun back there. What's going on? You got to plug that thing in.
I should have played that instead of watching that game. That's what should have happened there.
But that was funny, man. You never got a chance to turn the game off because every time it felt like it was time, the Nuggets made a push. For as poorly as they ultimately played, they almost played well tonight, guys, but just not enough help for Jokic, who goes absolutely off tonight, by the way. 26 points, 21 rebounds, 11 assists. Dev, I'll start with you. Do you have a big takeaway after watching the Nuggets' inability to take advantage of what was at times a small ball lineup for the Jazz and certainly shorthanded bigs?
Just the Jazz, like, answering the call. Like, they were, without a very important piece to their identity, and guys just still seem to figure it out. Other guys stepped up as well. I think that's really the difference in the game. Rudy Gobert did not play. Donovan Mitchell did not have a great game, but Bogdan had an insane game.
Insane.
Like, guys just stepped up, and they also – the thing about Utah is they actually know their roles. Everybody on their team seems to know who they are, what they are. And that's just where the Nuggets have to get to and where they have to be. So it's kind of wild for the Jazz to be leading the charge on anything with the Nuggets.
Eric, do you have any big takeaways after that game?
My big takeaways from that game is, I mean, the big takeaway obviously is just Jokic is the best player in the world. He can do no wrong. It's unbelievable how little help he gets. And it's crazy, like, you know, his role players just vacillate so wildly. Like, they're good, they're bad. Even the same players in the same game. It's like you get Monte Morris, who goes nuts. We were talking about taking his threes in the pregame show, and, you know, we shied away from it. Man, he was on fire from behind three. But then in the biggest moment of the game, like, he shot the most perplexing shot of the night in the worst moment, missed it, of course. You just have to keep telling yourself this over and over and over. It's just, we're in a place where it's just going to be fun and then not fun and fun and not fun. You just can't count on anything other than inconsistency from this squad. It's just hard to go through it, but that's just, you know, in the end, like, when we have our team fully together and we are in Elysium looking back and laughing at all of the hard times we went through, like, it'll all feel worth it. But man, when you're in the middle of this garbage, it sucks. Totally fucking sucks.
You know what's tough is the Nuggets, the Jokic Murray Nuggets, I think, one of the staples of their identity, that team, just what we came to think about them, was that crunch time offense, right? That two-man game in the fourth quarter. And this year and tonight, it has felt like they just don't know what to do down the stretch. Obviously, get the ball to Jokic, but how do they do that? What do they do when defenses cut that off? And tonight, it just felt, even when things were going their well down the stretch, they made that mini run. But you could almost see everyone tighten up. Monte forces that three at the end, and that possession didn't look like it was going anywhere else. So to me, Dev, it was just a really disjointed effort down the stretch and a lack of execution in the fourth quarter. And that's something that we've seen a couple of times from them this year.
Yeah, and I don't even think it has to do with not trusting each other, but it kind of does. I think that the Nuggets know that they have to play so perfect. Things have to go their way, or you have to make the right play, or you're not going to win the game, or you're going to be, you know, judged in a way for taking those type of shots. The opposing team, every single opposing team knows who's on the Nuggets roster, who's, you know, not playing well, who's, you know, forced to play and to close with that team. And the Nuggets are just not at full strength. So as much as we want Jokic to have the ball and to take every single shot, it becomes very difficult because that's what the other team is also going after, and they take those type of things away. So I think that at times you're seeing people force shots, or you're seeing people try to create things just because they have to. They're put into positions where they have to try to make things happen. And if it doesn't go in, you're like, what the hell is that? But if it goes in, it's like, okay, someone's trying to help them out. So I think it's a really tough spot to be in if you're an other for the Nuggets right now.
Yeah, my thing with it is that, it's a different lineup every night. It's like, I don't even know who they are when you're talking about the closing lineup for the Nuggets. Like, I would be surprised to see how many times Monte, Austin Rivers, Jokic, I can't even remember who was on the Aaron Gordon and Barton were on the court at the same time to close a game. I mean, it's just like they don't trust each other because they don't have a rhythm, because they don't have playing time together, because nobody can stay in the lineup, be it COVID, be it injury, be it whatever. It's just, I mean, this whole season is just, the only thing that you can count on is that it's going to be a completely different team every night with the exception of Jokic.
All right, let's go through the roster. Let's talk about these games, these performances. Interested to hear what you guys thought about Will Barton, who I thought really played a horrid first half. Horrid. And then in the second half, he got it going a little bit. Some life in the fourth quarter. Ultimately finished with 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, but shoots just 7 of 17 from the floor, 2 of 6 from deep. And Dev, he did not get off to a great start in that first quarter.
he played so bad in the first quarter. And really, you know, it set up the tone for the game, because that's what you remember. He really did play, you know, a lot better offensively in that second half. And he went into a zone, like he got into a rhythm where he's making things happen. He's being a playmaker. He's trying to score the ball. But at the same time, when you look at those field goal attempts, at no point should he ever have the same amount of field goal attempts as Jokic. He just shouldn't. I think that's where it becomes like an issue. And also on that defensive end, he just seems to be letting guys do whatever it is that they want to do out there. And that's where a lot of that frustration comes from. Because I really do. I want to defend him as far as like getting shots up and trying to make things happen. I think at times he also gets too caught into the fact that he has to be the one that does it, where he's doing it a little too much. So I think that like he's still trying to find that balance and that line of someone else has to help Jokic, because that's what everyone's going to say. Who's going to help Jokic? And then he's trying to, but it's just not working. So as the season keeps on, you know, going along, I hope that he just continues to get into the right direction of not taking all the bad shots, but still having to take shots. And I think
right, keeping the foot on the gas, but cutting off the fat if you can. What'd you think of his 90?
I mean, it's like you said, the first half was just absolutely abysmal. It just felt like it was going to be a night where we had to either bury or defend Barton because it was going to be nonstop comments about him. In the second half, he like got it. He got it going. He looked pretty good. He was still – there were a lot of possessions where you're like, dude, just pass it off. Like, don't. Like, don't. But, you know, he made some of those shots too. And he, you know, as going down the stretch when it looked like we were dead in the water down 10 – he was a little bit of the catalyst to get us back in the game. So I have a hard time like fully burying him. It's just, you know, Barton is another guy that specifically for him, when there is no order at or certainty or knowing like really what to do, like his worst like comes out. His worst tendencies arise when there's confusion.
So there were specific moments where I liked him being aggressive, like him being able to drive deep and take that pull-up jumper, getting all the way in and getting to the rim, which he did in the fourth quarter. Like with the way Utah was playing Jokic, someone did have to drive into the teeth of the defense and be ready to score. It was, I think, there were several ill-timed pull-up fast break threes on a night where he just didn't seem to have it. A couple of moments where you go, oh, they're close to turning the corner. I know it's doubles and triples, but just get the ball to Jokic right now. And it's a three in the first 5 seconds of the shot clock. That stuff killed me, especially in the first. And I think it mars his night. It actually was closer to a good night on the offensive end than some might realize. I think in the second half, he was good. Someone needs to take those shots and put that pressure on. But right now, as the de facto second best player of the team or scorer, or maybe that's his role, whether you view him that way or not, he seems to have a little confusion on when to pull which levers, in my opinion.
One of the best things, you know, about this Nuggets team right now is like when Will Barton, you know, has it going, you're like, oh yes, Jokic is gonna get some help. One of the worst parts is when Barton has it going, because you're like, damn it, he's gonna start taking a lot of shots. He's gonna think that he's really in a zone right now, and it's just not the time for that. Like just having to play him like that many minutes in a row is like where his, you know, that's why I think that there's so many, you know, people that are down on Barton, because you're having to play him so much and he's playing, you know, 30, 40 minutes a game. And that just becomes a lot, because you're going to see those highs. You're going to see those lows. One of my things that's like really standing out with Barton as of late for like the last month is what happened to the defense. I think that's where the issues are. Like he's not applying himself on that end. And as much as he's needed on offense, he's really needed on defense, probably even more, because it's Aaron Gordon who's, you know, a little banged up right now. So who's going to be their defensive, you know, guy or someone that's going to step in and help him on that end? And I think that's where Barton is having the most issues right now.
Yeah, agreed. It was it was just inconsistent within four quarters. And then the defense, to your point, has just been, it's been a long time now since we talked about how great he was to start the season, how energized he looked, athletic, engaged. And it's been so long. So absolutely. Let's talk about Aaron Gordon, who played really well on the offensive end, 8 of 11 from the floor, 17 points. But I actually did not think this was a very good Aaron Gordon game, guys. He only finishes with 3 rebounds, and he spent a lot of the night guarding Boyan, who absolutely went off. What did he finish with? Does anyone have it? Let me check real quick.
32, I think, or 33.
36
points. Which is dope because that means a $36 free bet from our friends at DraftKings.com if you opted in. Let's go, Boyan. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, man. It was a team effort getting worked by Boyan, but it was Gordon too, for sure. So, I mean, what'd you think of his night ultimately, Doug?
I mean, the thing that Aaron Gordon was brought over was for defense. And you don't want to put a lot on him right now because he's like clearly banged up, but guys have been getting the best of him as of late, you know, when it comes to that defensive end. For Boyan to go off like that with him as the primary defender, you just don't expect those type of things. I mean, I don't think that Aaron Gordon was horrible because he was good on offense. Like at one point in the game, he had like only like one miss and he was just knocking down everything. Later in the game, I felt like he was kind of laboring. And also he was like getting exposed on that end of the floor. So I think he wasn't into it, you know, in the same way. So he has to get back into a rhythm. But on that goaltend late in the game, it looks like he tweaked his hamstring or tweaked himself again. So like now, is he going to go into the next game like as a questionable or he has to sit down again? That's like another thing that you have to think about because, I mean, you need him. You really do need him, and you need him to have these type of games to just do a little bit more on the defensive end, and this wouldn't be a bad game. But we didn't see the same type of aggression. Like, and that's, you know, something that stands out. Usually he's down in the paint, and he's, you know, sealing guys and going up for and one finishes. He didn't go to the free throw line once tonight. So, like, that goes to show you the type of game he had. He's on the perimeter. He's shooting the mid-range. He, you know, went 1-for-4 from the three-point line. Like, he's out there, and they need him to be inside as well because it becomes a high-low attack. They also have to defend Jokic in a different way. And that's also it's Jokic's escape valve. So, rough game for Aaron Gordon as far as, like being the consistent force that they needed him to be.
What'd you think, Eric?
He didn't strike me as playing poorly on defense at all. Like, I just thought Boyan was just hitting wide open threes. It didn't matter. Like, he was just hitting everything. Like, I didn't remember any times where I thought Gordon like really got cooked on defense. Like, he did what he always does, which the one thing I love the most about Aaron Gordon's defense is like he never gets fooled by head fakes. Like he always stays down. He always just puts his hand up. He like never gets up in the air and like guys jump into him. And that was the same again tonight. Like, I mean, I thought Aaron Gordon was good. Like, I just wanted more from him. I just wanted him to be like more engaged. Like Dev is saying, I agree. Like, I wanted to see him in the paint more. I wanted to see him cutting more. Like the things that we know that he and he alone can bring to this squad. Like he was, you know, he was playing on the perimeter in offense and he was knocking down his shots, which is cool. But like, that's not like the role we need from him. We need him to be in there banging. We need to see him go to the free throw line. We need to see him making his physicality felt. But I mean, I have a hard time giving Aaron Gordon any guff in this game. Like that was not the breakdown, you know, like he looked fine to me. I don't know. It's just, there's like a million other places that I just felt like there were holes in this Nuggets squad.
I mean, the jumper looked great, but I thought defensively he had a really rough game. And I thought Boyan, I know the third quarter was a bit of everyone getting that work, but the first half as well, it was AG. And to Dev's point, I definitely saw him come up. I mean, the broadcast mentioned it. It looked like he came up a little lame after that goaltend. So,
like, to me, like, that's like a bad, like, I don't know why he's defending Boyan. Like, he should be defending Royce O'Neal. He should be defending guys that are, like, going into the paint. Like, guys with the take long jumpers. Like, that's not like, why are we putting AG on him?
I don't know if they had better options, especially sans Jeff, and they had 3 guards in the starting lineup. So maybe that was part of it. But I liked his approach on offense. There was one, like, I'm nitpicking here. This is one of the few guys that shot well tonight, but it was wide open, but he took a 3 from the wing in the fourth quarter. And I think it was like a 5 or 6 point game or something like that. And he had a wide open lane to go dunk and cut it and cut the lead. And I thought I would have preferred seeing him look aggressive and assertive, and he settled for that jumper, but he did shoot well tonight. So credit to him there. And not a lot of guys did. So let's keep it moving. Austin Rivers, who was just not good at all tonight, guys.
Jesus.
3 from the floor or 4 from 3. 6 points total, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He did have a nice little stint defensively at the end of the fourth on Donovan Mitchell, but for the most part, Deb, I thought Rivers was a real low light tonight.
Was Austin Rivers the primary defender on Donovan Mitchell?
Yes.
Like, so you have to, like, you got to give him some credit on that because he did make, you know, life difficult for Donovan Mitchell, who's been insane offensively as of late. So for him to only come up with 17 points, like, I do want to tip my hat to that to before I just obliterate him. because like,
compliment sandwich. Let's go.
Yeah. Offensively, he was atrocious. So bad. He's not making any shots, and he continues to shoot the three ball. Like, he just is always out there. He does, you know, doesn't really cut or anything like that. He's just out there just shooting the ball. He also holds the ball for a while. He also just never seems to be on the same wavelength as Jokic. And I think that, like, if you're going to put somebody in the starting unit, it has to be with, you know, a person that's going to play alongside Jokic the right way. So, like, maybe there has to be a change there. Maybe Austin Rivers goes back to where he's comfortable, and that's, you know, being able to shoot. And also, he's going to be a lockdown defender on those second unit guys. So, like, as good as he was on defense, he was double as bad on offense tonight.
He was so terrible. Like, he was so terrible. He was, like, the one play. You know, when you watch a game that's frustrating as this, like, you have just, I guess, the human tendency is to find the scapegoat, like, the one guy that's, like, really irks you, like, when things aren't going well. And tonight, for me, that was, like, Rivers. Like, every time something was going bad, I was like, ah, Austin Rivers. Drive me crazy. Like, I don't even know if you can call it shooting the three ball for him. It's the zero ball. He's shooting zero balls. Like, he's not making any three-pointers. They're not even close. He is making like, he completely grinds the flow of the offense to a halt for no good reason. Like, it's not like he's stopping and assessing what's going on the floor, being a floor general and restarting it. He's just, like, holding it. It's terrible to watch. I hate watching it. I'm so frustrated with it. Like, it's unfair, but, like, I mean, I'm just, like, I'm so done with the Austin Rivers experience at this point. Like, I don't know what it would take to get you back on board.
But were you a bit shocked when Austin Rivers actually got into the starting lineup? Like, I know,
yes,
the game, it was saying that he was, well, I don't know, it didn't say he wasn't going to play, but there was thoughts that he wasn't going to play.
Right. Questionable with that, right? Some sprain. I mean, who starts, right? They don't have a three right now. And so maybe you could have stretched it with, like, Vlacko at three, but you can't now, you know. So
nothing.
I do think that's part of it right now. And maybe an attempt to get any sort of perimeter. Davon Reed could have started, and maybe he should have. To Dev's point, we do have to credit Rivers for the job he did on Mitchell, who just missed some shots too. But, like, if we're going to sit here and point out AG's defense, Rivers had some impact on that end. But offensively, it's just that first quarter, it felt very indicative of how this recent stretch of games has gone. Like, defenses know exactly what to do. Rivers is wide, wide, wide open. And things aren't going to change until he can knock that shot down. And right now, he can't. It's a bummer because I liked the way he was playing off the bench for a while there. But with the starters, it has not been a good fit. Let's take our first break, fellas. When we come back, we'll talk about Yoke. We'll talk about the rest of the team. We'll hear from Mr. Wynn of Ball Arena, get an update. We'll keep this thing moving. We'll try to have a little fun if we can.
We haven't had fun yet. Let's go.
Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. Regular seltzers are also sold at the DNVR bar. So come and get those. Breckenridge Brewery is the best. Check out the Mile High City Copper Lager, that Denver Nuggets themed can, sleek blue can with the logo right on there. It drinks a lot easier. The Nuggets play offense right now. So it's really nothing like that experience, if that helps. If you're not sure where to get it, try the Breck Beer Locator, or you might be able to find it at your nearest grocery store like King Supers or Costco. You can even try the Drizzly app, get it delivered straight to your front door. Or if you want to order food and booze from the farmhouse from Breck Brew, you can do that too. Call 303-803-1380 from 12 to 8 p.m. for pickup. Use code DNVR to save $5 when you do. Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. And it's Wednesday, so I get to push that Strava Craft coffee on you guys. I really love my CBD infused coffee. It's delicious. It contains caffeine like normal coffee, but it doesn't make me all jittery and fiendish and skittish like that second or third cup of normal coffee does. It's helped great with anxiety, great with IBS, great with joint pain. Now, DNVR listeners can get 25% off their entire purchase. When they use code DNVR25, that is 25% off your entire purchase at StravaCraftCoffee.com using code DNVR25 at checkout. You can also subscribe. Subscribing to Strava means you never have to buy coffee in the store again. Come straight to your doorstep every 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks. You get 20% off that CBD-infused coffee every subscription, every order, I should say. So check out Strava Craft Coffee. It'll leave you honking like a goose. And we are back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. I like this comment from Ravon, which is, I kind of agree. Like, off the bench, I think Austin clears a certain standard of talent, but it's about fit. And with that starting group, we haven't seen the fit. So, and yes, I do miss Jeff Green. I do miss Jeff Green, J27.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, the fit, it is every player on this team needs to be a puzzle piece in a moving puzzle. Like, all of the rest of the players outside of Jokic change so regularly. Like, I don't even know what it is to be a fit. You know, like, a fit with who, with what? Like, every other piece changes. Like, it's so crazy. The inconsistency of the season is just enough to drive you insane. And I can see that on Twitter, and I can see that in our chat. Like, people are being driven absolutely insane by this Denver Nuggets squad.
I think it was Jeff Morton who said in yesterday's show, but if the Nuggets were just horrible, like actually horrible, this might be a little easier. But it's just the little flickers of hope and belief. But let's talk about the one constant, the one thing, our guaranteed source of good vibes.
Pain!
Nikola Jokic.
Oh, let's go.
Because I know. That's our DraftKings king of the game. Let me see. Let me check my notes here. Yeah, 26, 21, and 11. Not bad. He shoots 10 of 17 from the floor. One of those misses was a full court heave. Two blocks. I thought he was really good defensively as well tonight. Doubles, triples. It didn't stop him from getting to the foul line, going to work, maybe moving a little faster when he had to, a little quicker. He got it done. Dev, Jokic, wax poetic for us, brother.
Well, first off, I somehow ended up on like a Twitter battle with people saying that Jokic wasn't, you know, that good tonight.
I don't know
what they watched. I really don't know what they watched. But like, when you really break down this game, it was really a high IQ game from Jokic. I feel like he set the tone with like passing early to make the defense try to get off of him, or at least try to get pressure off of sending the double team so much or trying to get so many bodies on him. So he set him up with passing early, got his teammates involved. Monster on the boards. Like, we called that 15 and a half. That was very easy. You know, there's another triple-double of, 2020 game from him. And then also, like, late down in the stretch, he started scoring. Like, they made sure to give him the ball, and he scored. Like, he went 10 of 17. A couple of them were just heaves or just, like, getting the ball, like, out of his hands where he had to shoot it. But he really did dominate this game in, like, every single way. He eliminated, second-chance opportunities. For some reason, they want, Jokic to get the ball and go through double teams and really try to hurt himself to just try to score. Like, he's out there doing exactly what he's – what he knows he can do. He's making sure he gets guys open, and they're just missing shots right now. So you can't, go against the type of game he had. I was excited for Djokovic to have that type of game on the national stage like that, for the whole world to know that he's, playing two different sports at the same time.
You know, it's funny. The ESPN broadcast had a rough night, called him Jokic and Djokovic. I know. That's the line. Like, it's got to – next time it's like, if it's less than 17, I'm still on.
Dude, who's we, by the way? Who's we? I laughed at that, scoffed at that number. I didn't take 1 second of hesitation for that.
But you know what's funny is I actually thought the commentators tonight – I mean, they butchered Jokic's name, and he's the MVP, and it's time to get this right. It's beyond disrespectful. They were really pro-Jokic tonight. It was a lot of praise. It was a lot of explaining why he was the MVP and how good he looked despite the circumstances. But Eric, what'd you think of Jokic's game on both ends of the floor tonight?
Here's the thing about Jokic is that he is our all and our everything and the only thing, and he can do no wrong. And it's frustrating when early in games he just never wants to score, and you just knew that he was going to need to score tonight. And but he just will only operate the way that Nikola Jokic does, which is looking to get others involved, facilitate things, and then he'll like always kick it into gear as far as scoring is concerned down the stretch. But it's like he just wanted – I personally was just like, dude, we're going to need you to score tonight. Like it's – the thing that sucks is like we just need so unbelievably much from him. It is – it's disgusting, like the amount that is required of Nikola Jokic on a day in, day out basis. It's like so deeply unfair. His talent is supreme. His like ability to run the entire team is like unmatched, and it still doesn't matter. It's not enough. Like it's just like Jokic. It's Jokic and the dipshits. It's just like it's like the worst band of all time. Like I just watch these guys. Like I don't, if Jokic was not on this team, the Denver Nuggets would lose by 40 points every single night. Like there's not another player that you can look to that's
giving this team is constructed around three max contracts, including Jokic.
We'll talk about it.
It is built around him.
1,000%. I'm just saying, like, at this exact moment in time, like, the product that we are presented and, like, these players that are filling in the gaps, it's just not enough. It's not good enough. It's not fair. And, you know, this is a life is unfair situation, unfortunately, because Tim Connelly constructed a team good enough around Jokic so he wouldn't have to, he could just be the center of it and wouldn't have to be the alpha and the omega. But like right now, I just really feel for the guy. Like you can already tell, like he feels the weight of the world on his shoulders. Like he said as much in the interview that he's not having fun playing. Like right. Much is required of him. And like on a night like this where you just see just such boneheaded plays out of so many other guys where you're like, not only that, like they're so, it's amplified so much because they're playing with the smartest guy in the NBA. And it's just like when you see Barton make some decisions that he makes, and you see a guy who's a high IQ player, typically Monte, making just a terrible decision at the end of the game that forces Jokic to put his hands on his head, it just in disbelief. It's like, guys, man, like you have been gifted the opportunity to play with the greatest player of this generation. And like, what are you guys doing? It's so frustrating on nights like this.
Yeah, one other thing, like, and it's like a fun game that you could play when you do the like a round association today. When you look at all the other like stars or just like main guys on teams, you look at how many times they shoot a game. He's just way under them. Like he just is. Like, for instance, he takes the same amount of shots as Kyle Kuzma tonight. He's not their best player. You know, Bradley Beal gets up way more shots. Like Jokic. And it is because a lot is asked of him, and he's also rebounding. He's also setting up the offense and doing everything else. But just like the fact that he's not trying to score or shoot it every single time, it does become frustrating because you want him to be so great on that end and also like to carry them in so many different ways. Like I just know really if we're frustrated, think about how frustrating it is for him to just want to make the right play every single time. And it's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't.
All right, obviously you can see we're joined by our colleague, our friend, the myth, the legend, Harrison Wind, live from Ball Arena. Mr. Wind, what's cracking?
What's up, guys? Nothing, man. How are you guys doing?
Was that fun for you?
It was a fun game, I thought. I thought it was a pretty fun game until the end, obviously. I was saying throughout the second half, especially when Nikola Jokic went out of the game, I was like, if they can just keep this within 10.
Yep.
They've got a really good shot to win it. And they did keep it within 10 when he checked back in with like 9.5 minutes left, a little earlier than he usually does. And they just couldn't close the deal. So I actually didn't think it was like an unwatchable game or anything. I had a good time watching it. It's just kind of what we've seen from this team a bit over, you know, this entire season.
Right. Just holding our breath in the second half. All right, who would you hear from tonight, or who did you hear from, rather, after the game?
We talked to Popeye Jones. We talked to Nikola Jokic and Monte Morris. I got to say, man, I'm loving the Popeye Jones experience. I'm not talking about anything that's happening on the court. I'm talking about everything that's happening in the press conferences because he just tells it like it is. Like pregame, Popeye Jones is just letting us know exactly how many minutes Monte Morris is going to play, exactly how many minutes Aaron Gordon's going to play, who he's starting, what the defensive matchups are going to be. And postgame, he was kind of letting it fly as well. But he didn't like the Nuggets' defensive energy tonight. Denver gave up 10 threes in the first half, and they did get all – they did limit Utah a little bit from beyond the arc in the second half, but he just didn't like their defensive energy, you know, in total tonight. He said he kept telling, you know, his guys to get up on their shooters. The Nuggets weren't, and they kept making threes. And then on the other end of the floor, he was just like, look, we've got to make some shots. They were doubling, tripling Nikola Jokic all night. We just got to knock down some threes. And, you know, Denver got hot a little bit from three and then really cooled off late. They finished 11 of 36, just 31%. So I think he's kind of onto it there, just didn't knock down enough shots.
Yep. Just take the mic, though, man. It's all you. It's all you here.
Okay. look, Nikola Jokic, 26 points, 21 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 blocks. Popeye Jones was like, look, you feel for him. He puts those numbers up and you lose. You feel for him. Most superstars wouldn't take it, but he comes back every possession and keeps fighting. And then the quote of the night, you guys. Popeye Jones, when talking about how special of a guy Nikola Jokic is, he goes, I'd want my daughter to bring Nikola Jokic home if she was bringing a guy home to marry.
Wow.
I'd want my daughter to marry Nikola Jokic.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Now, look, I think Popeye Jones knows Nikola Jokic is married and has a kid. But yeah. He's just kind of hammering home the point that
he's the top human.
He's a special, special human being, the top human, as some people said.
That is such a like a coach cliche. That's like the peak. That's the mountaintop of cliches. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It was a pretty incredible quote. The silver lining tonight, and Popeye also hit on this, they got Monte Morris back. And Monte was really, really good tonight.
Yep.
20 points in 29 minutes, 5 of 9 from 3. His minute range, and I know this because – Popeye Jones said this pregame, was 24 to 26 minutes. That's how much the Nuggets were going to want to play him. They went a little above that. And you know, Popeye said that he and Monte, they talked when there was 4 minutes left. And he was like, you good? And Monte was like, I'm good. And so he had him finish out the game. So he played a little bit more than he was supposed to tonight. But, man, was it good to have Monte Morris back. Really the only guy who was consistently knocking down threes tonight.
Sure. Sure. Monte was great tonight. It was good to have him back.
Yeah. And then, you know, we spoke to Monte as well. And, you know, Monte was out for a bit with COVID. He said he was pretty asymptomatic, just had some headaches. He said the most basketball reps that he got while he was out was just playing Papa Shot on his little hoop in his house. That was his practice.
Is it 30, a 30-foot Papa Shot? Because three was banging.
Yeah. He was on fire from three. And look, this is another, like, huge storyline that's obviously going on right now. The Nuggets are down a bunch of players. They're also down a lot of coaches. And they were without a couple more coaches tonight. Like, Ryan Bowen wasn't on the bench tonight, who, you know, after Popeye Jones, was the Nuggets' next assistant up. If you're familiar with the Nuggets' assistant coaches, like, Ogi Stojakovic is pretty far down the list of – you know, how, like, the order of assistant coaches, he's usually on the second bench. He was on the front of the bench tonight, so they didn't have Ryan Bowen. They're down Malone, Adelman, Jordy Fernandez, and Ryan Bowen. You know, that's four of their top five assistants and coaches. So Monte was kind of talking about how different it is sometimes in huddles, just during the flow of a game. He said at times, Monte said, we kind of like look around. What set are we in? It gets stagnant sometimes. He says they're missing Malone yelling out calls and plays from the sidelines. And he just said everybody's got to be locked in more mentally and timeouts just in on the floor.
Yeah, it's funny. I know they're professionals, but I was thinking about this too. We almost didn't talk about it enough. Like, I'm sure not having your head coach matters, right? Especially in a tight game down the stretch. I'm sure there's some real impact there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we spoke to Nicola as well, who was actually in a pretty good mood tonight. So, I mean, you guys know from all the Zooms I hop on after Nuggets games in the postgame lounge how long Nikola Jokic usually takes to talk to the media. He was out super quick tonight. He walks out double-fisting two smoothies and goes, you guys can't say I never did anything good for you because he got to the podium so early.
What a guy.
What a guy. Double-fisting smoothies.
Yeah, two smoothies tonight.
Vote.
So I don't think he was too beat up after the loss, but he was also speaking about not having Malone, and he had this great quote, and he was like, sometimes we just look at each other, me and Malone, and we know what we want to do. He knows what I want to do. I know what he wants to do. And that's just kind of how we communicate late in games especially. And he also said, like, look, with all these coaches out, with all these players out, we've got to do the small things. We got to do the little things to make up for that. We got to set better screens. We got to box out. We just got to kind of do the little stuff that, you know, we didn't do tonight.
You said he was in a good mood, though. Like, what do you, I mean, crazy good mood, normal good, just had a lot for you at the podium. How would you describe it?
Yeah, in a good mood. He was like joking with the PR intern, joking with the people on Zoom. He's in a good mood.
Good to hear. Anything else from the big fella?
That's all I got.
Harrison, we appreciate you as always, man. Do you want to get any takes off just on the game in general before you get out?
Yeah. Now that you're here,
I
mean, early.
I can stay on here. Yeah.
I was going to say, now that you're here early, you got to be in the losers. You're in the loser arena there.
Yeah. Anything else that I saw tonight? The best defense the Nuggets might have played all night was Facu Campaso got four straight stops on Jamal Murray at halftime during warm-ups. One-on-one. Them two going at it in the post. Jamal Murray 0-4 on Facu at halftime.
We're screwed. All right, we're going to take another break, guys. When we come back, we'll finish up going down the roster, sharing our thoughts. We'll get everyone out of here, get everyone a little closer to the weekend after a nice little therapy lounge. I probably should have looked up which reads I'm doing.
No, you should have. That's true.
Okay, so it's the second read. And it's let's talk about Lightshape, Colorado.
Let's go!
They have 10 Colorado locations, soon to be 11. And if you go into any of those locations, you give them code DMVR, they're going to give you 25% off your purchase. Shop online or visit one of those 10, soon to be 11 Lightshade locations near you. And while we're talking about Lightshade, we want to push those Escape Artist brands on you. You can find them at any Lightshade location. Escape Artist is the highest awarded topical brand in Colorado. They've got ratios available in 1-to-1, 20-to-1, 800-to-800 for all you psychopaths out there. It's founded and formulated by food and pharmaceutical scientists that believe in a brand that should be truly, that should truly exemplify the Colorado lifestyle, a balanced wellness routine. That's a lot of buzzwords. Let me tell you the good stuff. Marijuana, it works, and it's 25% off. Lightshade, use code DNVR. Just two reads tonight. So let's talk about DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. The football season is wrapping up. The Broncos are out of it, and your favorite college football team is probably not in contention for the title, but you can still get skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. Try their new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets in the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you win. Also, if you're a new user, download the app now. Use code DNVR. New customers can bet just $5 on any football team to win their game. If they do, you get $200 in free bets. Wind down that season with a big win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $5 on any football team, college or pro. Win $200 in free bets if they win. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
And we're back.
We are back, and we are ready to talk about Facundo Campaso, who caught the start tonight. Obviously, Monte shined off the bench. Facu, not as great a night starting. Finishes 2-6 from the floor. 5 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. Wynn, what'd you think of Facu's night?
I don't really have that many takes about Faku's night.
Yeah,
I know.
I think it was okay. I mean, he only played 20 minutes. That's probably the biggest takeaway from Faku's night. I mean, that's got to be the fewest amount of minutes he's played in a while. He played 33 against Dallas, 34 against the Rockets, 32 against the Warriors, and then all the way down to 20 tonight. Yeah, he just didn't have a huge impact, I thought. He had a couple nice plays, but you know, a couple rough fouls. One of three from three, not as big of an impact as we needed from him.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very good tonight. What do you think, Dev?
With Faku, just the type of game that he had, I feel like against the Jazz, they like just kind of attack him and go after him in different ways. And it was like a – I mean, they're missing their main guy, but it was like with Snyder, it's just like a lot of playoff type of games for him to play. So – I feel like he kind of, in a way, got played off of the court. And he didn't have the same energy that he typically has. Like, I don't remember Faku, just like sequence that he usually does have in those games that impacts it. So, I don't have a lot of, like, I don't think he had a good game. I don't think he had a bad game. I think this wasn't the right setting for him.
Yeah, I have no Faku takes.
I thought he was a little overzealous on defense at times. Just sometimes he takes some gambles, go for steals, roams off his guy. And there were a couple of times tonight where it was a catastrophic effort more than just
yeah.
But yeah, I did not think this was a great Faku night. And not a surprise to see Monte close over him given how he played.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to be interesting on Faku real quick is that I'm guessing Monte steps back into the starting lineup here Friday in Denver's next game. Faku goes back to the bench. He's been way more effective as a starter, Faku has, really over the last couple of years. Like, that's an open and shut case. He's way better with Jokic, way better with those starters. I wonder how he adjusts to playing with the bench unit more.
Yeah.
You know, or if the Nuggets coaching staff tries to play him and make it a point to play him with Jokic in some starts because he does struggle with that bench unit so much.
It'll definitely be something to keep an eye on going forward, and you would assume that Monte has that starting spot back sooner rather than later. I know how people want us to close the show tonight. I know what everyone's waiting for, but before we get there, I just want to go around and close on a somewhat more positive note. We'll start with Wind. If you had to pick a silver lining tonight, just something positive to hang your hat on, what are you going with?
I mean, Monte, obviously, he looked really good coming back. I mean, we've seen guys come back from COVID and not have their legs under them like a Bones Island and other guys throughout the league. But Monte definitely looked like he had his legs and he was good to go tonight. Will had a nice run early in the fourth quarter. I mean, other than that, I don't think he played a great game, but he got some shots to go in that fourth. So you hope that gives him confidence going forward, or maybe not confidence. That might be the wrong word, but just gets him in a better rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got for me, Dev?
I think with the world watching, everyone's eyes on the Denver Nuggets for Nikola Jokic to go out with a triple double in the fashion that he did, 26 points, 21 rebounds, 11 assists. It's just not happening. Like, if anyone else does that on a national stage, that's all they're talking about. They don't care if they lose the game. They're just going to talk about what type of night they had, what type of impact they had in the game, and how they just completely dominated. They don't care what the storyline is on the other side as well. He's been doing this, these type of games, like, for a while now. It's not just because, you know, the Jazz were down. And also, the world doesn't watch the Jazz, so they don't know anything. So they're going to see a team that's been winning a lot, that Jokic dominated. So I think that that's a silver lining.
It's a good point. It was a really good national spotlight game for you.
Yeah.
For Jokovic, great spotlight.
Yeah, great for Jokovic. Actually, for Jokovic had a terrible day. He got denied into the continent of Australia. Anyway.
And then lost to the Jazz.
The silver lining is that the outside of two players, Nikola Jokovic and Monte Morris, like, there weren't really that many other like great performances from the Denver Nuggets tonight, but they were within 4 points in the waning moments. Like, they somehow cobbled together, you know, through just, I get, hot and cold stretches, like a pretty competent performance as a team. Like, as frustrating as it was like, this was one of these games where they like were right on the edge, right on the precipice. They could just never get that one, like, which is actually like a much more frustrating game to watch, which I think is why everybody is like so unbelievably salty on Twitter and in the chat, is that like this game was just supreme frustration. But like, as badly as most of the team played, like, they were right there. They were right there the whole time. And you can just see it's easy to forget going through the desert like we're going through now, what it is that the Denver Nuggets like actually are, like the real construction of this squad. And, you know, you just remember like adding two max level players to this team and bringing back Jeff Green and bringing back Zeke Nnaji and bringing back PJ Dozier and like all of these guys that were supposed to be and are the actual real roster construction. It just reminds you, man, like, you know, that this is the darkest and next comes the dawn. You know, we're going to be all right, folks. Everything's going to be okay, but it's just going to get dark for a while. But it, you know, even though it's dark, it's like, it's still entertaining, you know, like it's still like as much as I wanted to kill myself for most of this game, like it still was fun. Right? Like,
speaking of dark, Eric,
yeah,
I'm looking at the Detroit Pistons box score right now. Because it's time to go around the association.
Let's go.
Let's talk about some games we did not watch. First up, Detroit Pistons versus Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets dropped 140 points in regulation. And Kelly Oubre hits 8 threes in the fourth quarter.
Yo! Kelly Oubre's a menace. A blonde-haired menace.
32 points, 9 threes off the bench for Kelly Oubre. Hornets run away with it.
I got a question for you guys. So, Mike Singer writes today that the Nuggets might be looking for a backup center. I don't think any big surprise there. We know they're looking for a backup center. We know they're looking for a backup wing. I don't know about you. There's one backup center that came to mind when I saw Mike tweet that out. And he's a backup center. I know that Michael Malone would play. And that's Mason Plumlee.
Okay. So
I don't know how available he's going to be because Charlotte is just really low on big men. But their season, they won tonight, but, you know, they've fallen off a lot from where they were earlier this year. I wonder if they'd move Plumlee. And, I mean, of course, you'd think Denver would be interested if the price was pretty cheap.
Would Plumlee be interested?
I'm sure.
What do you guys think? Yay or nay, Dev? Plumlee back in Denver.
Yay. Like, the Nuggets desperately need him, and they just don't need him at the price that they were going to have to pay him. If you give him now, he would love to play here, and I'm sure Jokic would love it.
I thought his soul had been removed the other night. I saw him being dunked on in merciless fashion. Dude, get him
the
back.
Only backup center in the Jokic era that has consistently gotten playing.
Yes, bring Black. Yes, yes. If we can do that, do it. Let's go. Come on. I'm with it.
Christian Wood, get the hell out of here. That guy's a bum.
Also, he's a malcontent. You don't want like a guy that you don't like, regardless of how bad your coaching staff is or like how bad your locker room is, like guys that stage coups in locker rooms, like those are called team cancers. You don't want those dudes.
Let's keep it moving, but we'll keep checking in with old friends. The Orlando Gary Harris's fall 116-106. Philadelphia gets the win. Joel Embiid beats up on another bad team. What else is new? Gary Harris floats back down to earth a little bit tonight, guys. Don't know if you've seen him going off lately. Tonight, just 4 of 11 from the field, 10 points. Did the Nuggets lose the trade? No.
I mean,
contract year Gary Harris, man. This is what he does in contract years.
Man knows how to get paid.
I miss Gary.
You look at this game, and we can look at numbers. I'm telling you, I'm just looking at field goal attempts. I don't understand why Jokic is having the same amount of field goal attempts as Terrence Ross. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Those type of things aren't good. You look at this game, and Embiid, has 12 for 31 points. They're going to say he dominated in the game, that Jokic just destroyed that in every single fashion.
There's got to be something up with Terrence Ross. I'm sorry. There's got to be something going on, because he puts up numbers, and every single year he's like, oh, the guy who a contender could grab as a shooter off the bench is Terrence Ross. And every single year he doesn't get traded. Something's up with Terrence Ross.
It's blackmail.
Or that Terrence Ross secretly does not want to leave whatsoever. Just the most content NBA player in his situation.
Yeah,
by the way,
he just like hates moving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Orlando works for him. Other old friend, RJ Hampton, 0 for 5 from the floor, 0-3 from deep, 3 assists, 0 points, negative 7 from the floor, or negative 7 overall. Tough stuff. Tough stuff. All right. Great. Good RJ thoughts, guys. Okay, Houston gets the win. Kevin Porter Jr. did not leave this game at halftime. He was there for the buzzer, and he put in an off-the-dribble 3 to win. That's game for KPJ, and the Wes Unseld Juniors lose another one.
You're going to talk like Kevin Porter Jr. had a good game. He went 3 of 13 from the and I already know they're going to be like, oh, he came back, and he didn't give up on his team. 3 of 13. If Barton did that, you know what type of game they would say he had.
We're taking a game-winning 3, though.
Mm. That makes up for it. That makes up for it.
24 points for Kyle Kuzma. 0 of 8 from 3, though. But he's actually kind of playing well in Washington. Too bad they're tumbling.
And you don't hear a peep about him.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you don't hear a peep unless he forces your hand. And
unless
then,
he peeps.
Yeah, unless he dresses like a peep. Like he wears an oversized pink sweater. Like Kyle Kuzma is at the point where he's like, oh man, I don't just get any free press anymore. I have to dress like a literal clown, like some people will talk about me. I can't stand Kyle Kuzma.
Wait, really? You can't stand him?
I did not know that about you. Let's talk about the game that I really want to talk about. San Antonio Spurs up by 2 on Boston. All they have to do is inbounds the ball, not throw it away. They throw it right to Jaylen Brown, who's got a chance to tie the game in overtime, but he bricks it. Boston Celtics lose another one, 99-97. Folks, the rumors of the Celtics' demise have not been greatly exaggerated.
Jason Tatum went 6 of 20 from the field, 1 of 6 from the three-point line, and he didn't correctly fill the lane, which made it a little bit tougher for Jaylen Brown to go and blow the game on a missed layup. How do you feel?
I feel great. This is just
for as bad as this Nuggets season has felt. You could always be watching the Celtics. It could always be a little worse, you know.
That's right. They
could always be a lot worse
right now. Them in Portland.
Yo, like we've been. The thing about the state of this Nuggets team is that like we've been there when there was like no hope. We're just like artificially down bad right now. This is like not real. But
why are we down so bad though? Can we like Nuggets are 500. They've played the toughest schedule in the league. They played the least amount of home games in the league. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's have COVID.
That's why we're down bad.
Yeah, those parts.
We should not
those
be things. Down this bad. Like,
you're right. We just have to give continual pep talks. But like, it's been bad. It's been like bad basketball. Like, it's not been enjoyable to watch. Like, every other night. Like every other night, it's great. And then every other night, it's very. Ungrate like tonight, like that wasn't that great, but you know, artificially down bad.
I think Harrison's point is actually a big part of like why it's been so bad is because they're so close to it really not being that bad at all. It's just like waiting for things to get better, and they're not going to go on streaks, you know what I mean? It's going to be a two step forward, one step back kind of year. So I agree with Wind. I think we're close to some perspective, but I also think that's the very part that everyone's choking on right now.
Yep.
It's just tough to see them get so close. Okay, real quick before we get out of here, Kyrie Irving returns, and the Brooklyn Nets 129-121. Lance Stephenson finishes with what does he finish with?
Let me guess, 21 points or something.
No. He finishes with
30 ball. He had 30
points, 12 of 19 from the floor, 5 assists in a loss. Lance returns to the Pacers. I know you love to see it, Dev.
That's big time, man. Really, I think it's big time. Took 19 shots in the game, 12 of 19. Like, he had a good game, knocked down the 3 ball. He was prepared. Man, he's born ready, I heard. He's born ready.
Predict his stat line next game.
We're not talking about that. We're just
Tell me, what will his stat line be next game?
Probably 20. Probably score 20.
No way. Yeah, on like 26 shots.
There's no way, dude. He's going to shoot 34 times and have 8 points next game.
Look, I think I'm the only one on this show right now who watched every Lance Stephenson game for the Grand Rapids Gold this season. I think I can say that as a fact. I told you he was good. I told you he was looking like an NBA player. And when I said that, I saw all the side eyes that you guys gave me. I heard all the snickering in the Slack about, oh, Harrison doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
I told you Lance was good. I told you.
That's us. Always just talking shit about Wiz. Just
We have a side Slack channel.
I'm sure you know. Here's Harrison with his G League takes coming.
Yes, it's the Chimeless group chat. That's really, oh shit! All right, guys. Well, that's good enough for me. Thanks for going around.
Dude, let's get the F out of here, dude.
Thanks for going through this therapy. Thanks to everyone for watching. Good numbers on the loss, guys. Harrison's right. Oh, so close yet, oh, so far away. But we have no choice, right? This is what we do. This is who we are. We'll be back here every time, win or lose, in this lounge together, chopping it up. Thanks for watching. Enjoy yourselves. You're that much closer to the weekend. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
We suffer together.